Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Have you ever wondered what it would have been like to have lived in the Bible times and to have been a part of the tremendous events that are recorded there? Would you like to have talked with the great men of the Bible? There are two conversations, not just these two, but certainly two, that I would love to have heard. One is mentioned in Exodus chapter 18, verse 7 and 8. And Moses went out to his father-in-law, and did obeisance, and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. Would it not have been thrilling to hear Moses tell of his appearances in Pharaoh's court, and his encounter with the magicians, and about the plagues, the crossing of the Red Sea, the fall of the Egyptian army, God's provision of water and manna, and on and on? Now we have the inspired record, and that is sufficient. But to have heard him tell it to Jethro, it would have indeed been something special. But the second conversation that would have been tremendous to have heard is mentioned in Luke chapter 24. Two of those close to Jesus were on the road to Emmaus, discussing the events surrounding the crucifixion of Jesus and the report of his resurrection. Jesus joined them. However, they were not at first aware of who he was. Jesus took advantage of the opportunity to teach them concerning the prophecies as they related to himself. And verse 27 reads, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." What a privilege to have heard Jesus teaching the prophetic sayings of the Old Testament prophets and have him show how they applied to him. The significance of Jesus fulfilling the prophecies cannot be overstated, because these stand as irrefutable evidence that he is the Messiah, and the knowledge of the prophecies ascertains that truth. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 18, "But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled." In Acts chapter 3 and verse 24, "Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days." In John 5 verse 39, Jesus said, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." And further in that chapter he said, "For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" Jesus said in Matthew 5, 17 and 18, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled." Now God expects us to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. But God has also provided mankind sufficient evidence whereby we can believe and know with certainty that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son. The fulfillment of prophecies concerning himself are demonstrated in this truth regarding him. They simply show that the things that Jesus did and said, God foreknew and planned beforehand. There were vague prophecies concerning Christ even before the more explicit ones given by Moses and by others. For instance, in Genesis 3 and verse 15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." The one who would bruise the head of Satan was the seed of woman. This is an obvious reference to the Messiah. Equally obvious is the implication of a virgin birth. He was not the combined seed of man and woman. He was the seed of woman, providing his humanity, but conceived by the Holy Spirit, providing his deity. The promises from God to Abraham until Moses include many references that would be accomplished only in Christ. But Jesus spoke of those prophecies from the time of Moses. So let us confine ourselves to a few of those prophecies concerning himself. In Isaiah 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Matthew quoted this prophecy in Matthew 1, verse 23. He said it concerned the birth of Christ. He said in verse 22, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet." Micah had prophesied, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting." With clear reference to the Eternal One who was to come, the little city of Bethlehem was announced as the place from which he would come. Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 6 tells of the story of the wise men who came to visit the King of the Jews and to worship, and they were directed to Bethlehem, as the prophet had written, and where Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. And Micah had also prophesied that he would come from the tribe of Judah. That Jesus was of that tribe is noted in his genealogy in Matthew 1 and verse 2, and by an express statement in Hebrews 7, 14 that said, "It is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah," just like the prophet Micah had said that he would. And even more specific regarding his ancestry, it was prophesied that he would be of the house of David. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end," notice now, "upon the throne of David, and upon his throne, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord will perform this." This from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. And Jeremiah said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." Jeremiah 23 and verse 5. And again, the recorded genealogies of Jesus in both Matthew and Luke affirm the things that the prophets of old had foretold, that Jesus was to be a fleshly descendant of David. This is as was prophesied. In Jeremiah 32 and verse 5, we read, "Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children, because they are not." Now Matthew records how Herod, seeing that he had not received the information from the wise men that he sought in finding Jesus, attempted to kill the infant Jesus by slaughtering the babies around that area where the Messiah was to be born, hoping in the process he would destroy the newborn king. But Matthew 2 and verse 17 says, "Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying," and then he quoted the words of the prophet of Jeremiah, chapter 31 and verse 5 that we just read. Because of Herod's determination to destroy Jesus, we read in Matthew chapter 2, "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there unto the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son." This was another prophecy concerning Christ. This was reference to a prophecy made by Hosea in chapter 11 and verse 1. And at this point, we might refer to Matthew chapter 21. and the record of the triumphal entry of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem, which began his final week here upon this earth. That is, before his crucifixion. And the people cried out, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And Jesus came into the city riding upon an ass, the royal beast upon which the Jewish kings rode. And this detail had already been prophesied hundreds of years before in Zechariah 9 and verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, and shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt the foal of an ass." Another prophecy that Jesus fulfilled. In Psalm 41 and verse 9, "Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." In Zechariah 11 and verse 12, "And I said unto them, If ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver." Now I think the Bible student will immediately recognize this was prophesying concerning the things that Judas did in his betrayal against Jesus Christ, and the very exact price, 30 pieces of silver, that the chief priest gave Judas to betray Jesus is specified here. And after Judas returned the money, seeing that he had betrayed innocent blood, this money was used to buy a potter's field, that is, a place for burying strangers and for burying the poor. Well, this is said to fulfill a prophecy by Jeremiah. Actually, the prophecy is recorded in Zechariah. The explanation for that seeming difference is that in listing the prophets, the Jews listed Jeremiah first, and his name was used often to refer simply to all of the prophetic books, not specific reference to the book of Jeremiah. And Zechariah was, of course, one of the prophets, and his book is the prophetic book. And the returning of the money by Judas to those to whom he had given or received it in order to betray Jesus had already been prophesied that such would take place. Well, there are other prophecies which Jesus fulfilled, such as his silence when standing before his accusers. Recorded in Isaiah 53:7, Matthew wrote, "And he answered him never a word, inasmuch that the governor marveled greatly." Matthew 27, verse 14. Again in Isaiah 53, it tells how he would die alongside malefactors. And Matthew records, "Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left." In Psalm 22 and verse 18, it was prophesied that men would cast lots for his garments. Well, we read in Matthew 27:35, "And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." We turn to Psalm 34 and verse 20. It says, "He keepeth all his bones, and not one of them is broken." And in John 19, "Then came soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already. They brake not his legs," just exactly in detail as the prophecy had foretold. Of the entire proceedings regarding his mock trial and his death, Jesus had said, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that this it must be?" Over and over, record after record, prophecy after prophecy, we read of those things that would transpire concerning the Savior of mankind. And Jesus fulfilled them, and it was for our sake, and that we might have the evidence to convince us of the truth that we must believe in order to be saved. These are the kind of things that he discussed with the two disciples as they walked along the road to Emmaus. Now, we do not have a record of all that Jesus said and did, nor possibly every prophecy that he fulfilled. We do not have a detailed account of his explanations given on the road to Emmaus. But we have all that is needed to prove to us that Jesus is the Son of God, and all that that implies. And John closed the writings of his book in John chapter 20, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." Dear friend, God has given us the prophecies. God has shown us the fulfillment of those prophecies in Jesus Christ, that we might know, that we might believe, and that we might obey and be saved. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.